Good evening. This is Alex Steinberg. I'm convening a meeting of the Pacifica National Board's Strategic Planning Committee. It is 8:37 p.m. on July 13, 2020. And as we do not have a regular secretary yet, I guess I will call the roll. So let me... Robin Collier.
Excuse that one.
He's not here. Okay. Lydia Brazon?
Here.
Okay. Grace Aaron?
Here.
Wayne Ward? Wayne's not here. Okay. Lawrence Reyes?
Lawrence is here. Just so it's Wayne. He just didn't answer.
Wayne, are you here? Can't hear you. Okay. Lyndon Foley?
Here.
Okay, Dwayne is here.
Okay, good. Got you. Jeff Sargerson.
Somebody needs to put themselves on mute.
Yeah, somebody's shuffling papers or something. Jim Sargerson? I don't know if Jim even knows about the meeting. I think he's got lots of meetings.
I'll call him. I'll call him, Alex.
Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Here.
Okay. Sabrina Jacobs. Sabrina, are you here? Heather Gray. Somebody call Heather. I know she definitely is meaning to be on this call. I just got an email from her. Tom Voorhees. I think Tom said he... I don't know. Tom is going to be on the call. I don't know why he's not yet.
Okay, I got James on the call.
Okay.
Yeah, just FYI, I had the correct number and the correct code, and I couldn't get in.
Okay, well, it's Maestro. It's not Zoom.
I hear you.
Does somebody want to volunteer to see if you can get a hold of... Well, we're missing Tom, Heather, and Sabrina.
Okay, I'll call Heather.
Tom posted a notice that said he wasn't going to be able to make it, I believe. Let me just...
No, he said he might be late.
Oh, okay.
I'll call Heather.
Yeah, he may be late or need an excused absence.
Okay, does somebody want to call Sabrina?
I'll call Heather.
No.
And after that, I'll call Sabrina.
Okay, thank you, Lawrence.
Oh, I just don't have their phone numbers. I'd be happy to help, but I don't have anybody's phone number.
And if we run on the public stream, I will give it to you, but our kids exited.
Okay. So that was the... anyway, we have a quorum. The first item is minutes approval. I think, Vanessa, you did the minutes for the last meeting, right?
I did. I sent them at about 7 o'clock, which was a little late, but hopefully everybody got them and had a chance to look at them.
Let me see. Okay.
7:03 Eastern Time.
Huh?
I was just saying, I got it at 7:03 Eastern Time.
Wonderful. You sure you don't want to do this as a permanent change?
I am sure I don't want to do it. I will rotate with somebody, with another two or three people, but not by my little lonesome.
Okay. All right. So we have some minutes for the meeting from June 29th. Are there any corrections to those minutes? Okay, those minutes are approved. I think I have to post them to the KPFT website so that they're officially posted. And, okay. Okay, do we have anybody who wants to volunteer to be timekeeper for tonight?
James, I'll do it for people.
Okay. Well, you could probably do it for topics, too. There's not that many topics. It's like three topics, basically.
I'm just getting used to this. I have a site where there's one stopwatch. I don't know how to set it up for two. Maybe if I can do it, I'll see. I'll check and see if I can do it.
Okay. Okay. So here's the draft agenda. I forgot to put it on the agenda. I'm sorry. item number 3B should be draft agenda. Anyway, the draft agenda is approval of the draft, approval of the agenda. Then comes I put down a preliminary discussion of a recovery plan, 15 minutes. At this point, I think there's too many variables to come out with a complete recovery plan, but we can begin to think about it at least. Next item is continuing discussion on restricted underwriting. That's a 60-minute item. Then there's new business, 10 minutes, and we should adjourn by no later than 10 p.m. Do we have a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved, James.
Okay. Are there any motions? Does anybody want to offer any changes or amendments to the agenda?
Alice, can I have the floor real quick? This is Lawrence.
Sure.
Heather said that she had sent you a note about the underwriting situation. She's too tired to get on the call. She's exhausted. So I just wanted to let you know.
I'll look for her note. Sure.
Okay. And Sabrina didn't answer, so.
Okay. Well, we tried. Okay, so if there's no objections, then...
Alex, I have a question.
Sure.
No, we're in a very, very difficult financial situation as a network. Several stations that are spending more than they're bringing in income. And underwriting, although if it were approved, it could eventually bring in income, but to ramp up underwriting would take quite some time. I think it would be good for this committee to start broaching the subject of strategic planning, like what are we going to do to decrease expenses and improve revenue. So can that be somewhere on the agenda?
Well, it is on the agenda, but it's only a preliminary discussion because, number one, we don't have the audits yet. We don't know. There are certain loans that we've applied for that we hope we're getting, but we don't know for a fact if we're getting, and all. So it's there's a bunch of variables that we don't know yet. I think we'll be in a much better position to continue that discussion probably at the next meeting.
Well,
may I be recognized? James?
Can I respond?
Yeah, let's
go ahead.
Okay, number six is recovery plan for auditor. That's separate and apart from a strategic plan that the...
I don't know. Are you looking at the right agenda? I don't know what you're looking at.
Now, this is from June 29th. be looking at a wrong agenda.
Yeah,
send it out, Alex.
I'll send it out again.
Hello?
Yeah, I don't think I have it.
Okay, I'll send it to you, too. You want me to send it to your home address or your executive address? I'll send it to both. All right. Okay, I just sent it to you. Yeah, so I was just proposing a preliminary discussion on a recovery plan for 15 minutes, and with the idea that we will continue to have a more thorough discussion at the next meeting when we know, you know, we have our 2018 audit, for instance, and we hopefully will know about the EIDL loan. That was kind of my idea. James, did you want to say something?
Yeah, just for everybody's information, in case they haven't seen it yet, about 2 hours ago, Eileen sent out the draft audit
at
6:27 p.m.
James, that's a draft, and it's not public yet, and we can't really discuss it yet in a public session.
I see. Okay. Well, she did send it out to all the directors. Yeah.
James, can you send that to me? I didn't get it.
If you go to your Pacifica, you know, you should have gotten it. Are you on the Pacifica National Board list?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll send it to you.
Can you send it to the LRAIS account, please?
Let's talk after the meeting. I'll make sure I have the right account.
Okay.
Okay, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so... So let me read the draft agenda one more time. The first item is preliminary discussion of recovery plan, 15 minutes, then continuing discussion of restricted underwriting, 60 minutes, new business, 10 minutes, and we adjourn no later than 10. Is that okay with everybody? Okay, then that's the agenda. So I thought we'd just sort of have a preliminary discussion on a recovery plan, just to throw out some ideas on how we see the recovery plan, how are we going to, you know, some of the ideas are how are we going to allocate money that we expect to be coming in as a result of some loans and possibly grants we're applying for, what ideas do people have for new revenue streams, things like that. So, who wants to begin the discussion?
This is Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia.
Yeah, I think there needs to be some strategic planning at each of the stations, and that then for us to incorporate that. I mean, that's at the bottom of everything right now, and there is no station that has all kinds of, you know, that has a two-month reserve, for example, which we all should have. But so every station is different, obviously, and they each have different challenges, but everyone on this call belongs to, well, except for the affiliates, belong to stations. And so, you know, we can come up with all kinds of plans, but if we don't deal with the health of the individual units, then I'm kind of at a loss for how you develop a national strategic plan.
Okay. I don't really disagree. Anybody else want to speak?
Yes. Grace. I think when you look at all of the stations, they all have certain things in common. And one of the main things that they have in common is the listenership is just simply not high enough to sustain the stations. We do not have enough positive programming that is meeting the needs of our signal areas enough to generate enough listenership and financial support. And that's a common problem across the network. So we must do something to improve the programming and to have it meet the needs of our the population, our signal areas. So I think that that would be a very important thing. I mean, you know, you improve a product. Our product is what people listen to. And in order to, if you want people to buy something, essentially, it needs to be a good product. And I think that our programming could certainly be improved. So that's a common thing, that we need to figure out ways to improve programming. Now, the way that they be improved at each station might be different because the demographics are different, but essentially the administration of formulating a plan for programming improvement would probably be similar for the different stations. So that would be the first thing. And then there could be other things that could be done. Development, for instance, needs to be considered, and that's something that could be done at every station and is needed at every station and is needed on the national level as well. So I think there are generalized things that are that all the stations have in common that can be discussed when we're talking about a strategic plan, a recovery plan. Those are just two examples.
Okay. I think, Lawrence, you wanted to say something?
Yeah. So there's an effort at the KPFK LSV. We made a motion at our executive session meeting, to have a meeting of the mind, so to speak, with staff, the LSV, the GM, and the PD, to have a planning meeting, which is along the lines of what Lydia is talking about. And Michael has been leading that effort, Michael Novick, who's on the LSV and was a director at one time. So I think we need to reach out, communicate with the LSVs, and sort of encourage them to set up these strategic planning committees, or plan to develop a plan, so it could be heard on this committee. So that's what I had to say about that.
Let me ask you, Lawrence, are you proposing like a procedure similar to what we used to do on a national finance committee, have each of the stations present, you know, in the NFC, we'd have each of the stations present their budgets. So are you proposing
something like that? But the only thing is goals, outcomes, and of course they have to be measured in regards to, you know, how long the goals are going to be. But I think we should encourage all the other speeds to do it, you know, and then they could come and report. I think I'm hoping that maybe before the end of this meeting, we could come up with an agreement to send out an email. Maybe the secretary could send out an email to all the LSVs, encouraging them to have a planning session or have a committee to develop a plan for the station, which is what the DM submitted to our LSV, anyway, I'm not going to say what I think of it. I'm not going to characterize it, but it was just, it was a plan, but I think it was a plan that didn't include all the stakeholders, like the staff and the governance. So we feel that if we could bridge that gap with the staff and governance, I think, you know, it's a challenge. I think it could be done.
This is Lydia.
Go ahead, Lydia.
Okay, so I think one of the first steps that you do is that you determine your strategy short-term and long-term, and I'm with Grace. We need an immediate and short-term strategy.
Okay.
Actually, for each unit, because each unit comprises the whole, of course. And I think that has to be done immediately. The PPP loan was simply like a little bridge loan, right? It takes care of the salaries for a couple of months, helps us to catch up a little bit by virtue of that, but it doesn't solve any problems. This is not a solution by any stretch of the imagination. The same will be true with the EIDL loan, and that doesn't solve the problem because of the enormity of what we've incurred in terms of liabilities and so forth. And so we absolutely need to look at the micro, which then develops the macro. But start with that short term. Given everything that's going on and the reality that we're facing today, what is the situation? And I think the main thing is that we tend to not see how critical the reality is on the ground, and then to plan accordingly. And so we have to plan for the next couple of months, for the 6 months, for the rest of this year, which is, so not the end of the fiscal year. Let's just say the remainder of this year. But as soon as the PPP loan and the 2 months of salary is exhausted, what do you do? What is the snapshot of each of your stations? Do they start falling behind on central services again? Do they start falling behind on payroll, medical, etc.? So those are the questions that first have to be answered, in my opinion.
Let me just respond. Lydia, I mostly agree, but there is a difference between the PPP loan and the EIDL loan. I agree that the PPP loan is just giving us a little breather. It does not significantly change our financial situation. But the EIDL loan, on the other hand, that's a long-term loan, and that does give us a certain degree of flexibility that we don't have with the PPP loan. And it is conceivable that some of the funding from the EIDL loan could be used as a kind of seed money for investing in our future. And that's just something to keep in mind, because a more long-term strategy is going to require certain investments. It can't all be cut, and it can't all be just going in that direction. We need to look toward what we can do to improve our outreach and improve find a bigger audience, and certainly improving the programming is part of it, but it's certainly not the only part, because as good as the programming is, we know that there's been a technological change in the media landscape, and no matter how good your programming, a lot of young people are just not listening to radio. So we have to deal with that reality. We have to, Pacifica has to, embrace the technology of the 21st century, so to speak, in order to overcome these kind of trends. And so I do think there's a bunch of things to look at, but I certainly agree that we need to read the temperature of each of our business units and see where they're at and where they think where they think they can be going. Anybody else?
Yeah, I'd like to stack again if nobody else is going to speak.
Sure. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Okay, so I must have misunderstood Lydia. But, of course, I've been screaming that programming is our product and how we need to refresh our programming and make it more relevant to those people that are out there and struggle. And
share my experience with the SBA EIDL loan.
Hello?
Yeah, we're here. Somebody's listening.
I heard somebody talking in the background.
Yeah.
And
please. That's his speaking.
And anyway, so of course I'm not I'm not opposed to what Grace and Lydia said. I've been screaming about that forever. And I think one of the things that needs to happen at some point, we need to evaluate our existing programming and really consider making some serious changes, because our programming is old, it's stale, it's not reaching young people. From what I understand, 7% of our audience is made up of millennials. So, I mean, we're just not reaching the audience. I know my son, who's 22, he listens to the radio on his phone. So, and he listens to podcasts and all of that. So, you know, I just think that we are completely out of touch. And, you know, I don't mind being a stakeholder at this age, but I would like somebody to come after me and be able to step in and step up and really make this network relevant to those people who, for lack of a better word, who are on the streets right now getting their head cracked in, like we got our heads cracked in back in our day. So we need to make them relevant, and we need to bring them to the table. So I don't know. I don't oppose anything that neither Grace nor Lydia said. I completely agreed. But I was just thinking that that if we will go down to the micro level and start addressing and start encouraging the stations and the LSPs to get more involved with staff and management, then that'll bridge the divide as well. Thank you.
I'm Vanessa to the staff.
Go ahead, Vanessa.
Okay, so in terms of programming, I agree that to the extent possible, we definitely want to attract more young listeners. Honestly, I'm not sure that's possible, because what they listen to is so incredibly different than what we listen to, and I'm not sure that it's in the process of trying to attract them. It's not to say that there shouldn't be some efforts to, you know, have some programming that would appeal to, you know, younger audiences, but at the same time, there's a base, and we don't want to lose our base. There's, you know, all kinds of programming, sort of unique programming. I understand at PFW there's like a programmer who does elevator music and raises a substantial amount of money during each pledge. And, you know, it's not all jazz. It's a wide variety of different types of music. And it appeals to a particular audience. So maybe, I don't know what the answer is. I think we do try to outreach to younger audiences, but trying to be careful not to alienate the audiences that are faithful and loyal to us. In terms of the strategic plan, looking for a way, and I'm not sure what the process would be, to like structure that if each station or each entity is to develop a strategic plan, I think it was what it like the outline of what she provided. So what would need to happen, what we need to agree on such a structure in this committee, and then refer that to PNB, and then have the PNB vote on it, and then it would just come down from the mountain to the valley, and then the LSBs would, follow that charge. I'm not sure what the structure is, but I think it's a good idea, just not sure how to make it happen. That's it.
Okay. Anybody else?
Grace to the staff.
Yes, this is Lyndon.
Lyndon, you haven't spoken yet. Go ahead.
Yeah, Lydia, I hope you got my apology in my email.
Yeah, that's fine. No need to apologize.
Okay. Thank you. You said about each station do a strategic plan. Have you asked them to do that? The management of each station.
Well, from that's like the management perspective, right? And right now, what we're dealing with right now is the board members. But of course, I've asked everyone to produce the 30-day, the
the plan that the PMB has
right,
passed
right,
has some response of each station. And so there's that. That's at the management level. And, the, you know, management, of course, is already responding to anything that the finance committee wants and so on and so forth. We still don't have budgets. Obviously, at the national level, this is, like, unprecedented from my previous history in Pacifica. But so that's definitely a priority. And by budgets, I mean something that is credible. There are two levels of that as well, including the strategic plan. It's, we can say, the pre-COVID establishes a baseline so that the COVID does not become the pretext for where you're falling down right now. And so at least if you can develop a budget and some strategic planning based on what happened before COVID, and those numbers, certainly at my local station, were beyond anemic. And so, you know, that tells you something, right? So you first have to do that. There's that. There's the aspirational, which is mostly what we tend to go to. Oh, if we did this, this would happen. And so the first thing is to deal with that bottom line. Well, how much did we raise? Is that going to be the new normal? And then add to that the COVID, and has that helped or hurt? And some, you know, that also fluctuates depending on the kind of programming that we have and the kind of outreach for it and so on and so forth, which we can discuss as part of other strategies. And that's kind of overlapping with the development committee and so on and so forth. But let's start with that base, which we have to just see very clearly, I think. And then, as Vanessa pointed out, you have to walk that fine line between our traditional base and what other generations that we hope to integrate can bring to the table. And then how do we do that? Do we have openings at each of the station, for example, where you have 1 hour in the afternoon that tries out new shows, that sort of thing? And what is the criteria for applying to have a new show? And what are the demographics that you're trying to access? What are activities in our signal area? You know, in some ways we're stymied because we can't have in-person activities. On the other hand, it opens the door to the fact that everybody is on some form of Zoom, for example, and so forth, that you can do the kind of outreach. I know locally here, where we had one organization that used to have race relays, this particular former programmer actually used to organize the building that I managed. So let's say she used to have maybe 40 people, and now she's got a couple of hundred on Zoom because they no longer, A, have to travel, and, of course, the you know, what's happening right now, so it has attracted a much larger audience. And so are we making, at each station, making that available outside of our meetings? Are we making thematic, well, you know, I know that we've tried to do the town halls, which are kind of universal and tend to focus a lot on aspects of governance, but how about the themes that are right now out there and important to people? And the only way you can do that with a new audience, other than the same handful of Pacificans, is if you are somehow connected to or know people who are connected to the kinds of things that are happening in your own individual community. And that I'm not sure of how much that is present. I don't hear as much of it in my local area that I used to. So I don't know if that's true throughout the network.
Mr. Chair, this is the timekeeper.
Yes, how are we doing?
Well, I started late. I had to figure out how to split the timing, and I've got over 12 minutes already, but I started several minutes late. on the 15-minute time limit. And the speakers, since I didn't start timing right away, I just kind of let them go, and they've been averaging from 2.5 to almost 5 minutes. But it seems to be flowing pretty good, so I don't know if you want to continue that or become, you know, go back to 90 seconds, or how do you want to proceed with that?
Well, I mean, we voted on a time limit. I mean, the committee could always
We are at 22 minutes, I believe.
How much?
22.
You want to extend for 22 minutes? Did I hear that right?
No, we are. Sorry, we are at.
Oh, you want? Oh, we're at 22. Okay. Do you all feel like we want to continue this or wrap it up?
Yeah, I'd like to move to extend discussion on this item for 10 minutes.
Okay. Are there any objections? Okay. Let me just jump in here for a minute. I think before we do wrap it up, I think it is a good idea now if we can agree to ask the different LSBs to begin to think about a strategic plan. They're not going to be able to do a complete strategic plan because you have to see the entirety of the network for that, but they can certainly begin by thinking of the requirements of their own station. So can we agree to that and maybe begin to have reports back from each of the station areas?
Alex, this is Vanessa. I'm sorry, I got bounced off. It disconnected. Could you repeat the last thing you said? Could we agree to what's that?
Lydia's suggestion, basically, that and Lawrence as well, that we have we'll begin to get reports from each of the stations as to a strategic plan that begins from their station's perspective. Probably that should originate in the finance committee of each station. Maybe discussing that alongside their business manager, if they have a business manager, if they don't, alongside with their general manager, and work out at least the outlines of a strategic plan. Does that sound like a good idea?
This is Vanessa to the SAC.
Yeah, go ahead, Vanessa.
I think it sounds like a fine idea. I was just. It would be nice to be able to compare apples to apples, and I don't know if there would be so much variation in terms of how the stations would approach this. I think it was Lydia who laid out some criteria, short-term, long-term, and then some other variables. And I'm not sure in the absence of, for lack of a much, much better word, some guidance or some suggestions, the stations would all approach it in some sort of a similar way, and they'd come back with this, that, and the other that, you know, might be hard to compare.
That's a good point, Vanessa. When there's an old document when we started this committee precisely about that, about how we can bring together long-term and short-term strategic plans, and not any strategic plan requires an overall vision, and it doesn't just deal with finances, but has to deal with the multidimensional product that we deal with, which includes programming content, includes development efforts, even includes governance issues. So, the final product, of course, has to involve a strategic plan that is clearly focused on our finances and our plans for going forward, but it involves really everything else as well. But I think we can at least get started with the how the different business units see that, at least get some idea of what their needs are and what they think they can contribute to this effort. I'll send out that that document that I just referred to. Anybody else?
Yeah, Grace, I asked to be on the chat.
Yeah, go ahead, Grace.
Okay, I agree with Lydia that we should open up some space at all of our stations for to audition programming, new programming. Possibly keep on the air some that has promise. The other thing is there's a lot of assumptions that I think we've made that may not be completely true. I'm going to send everybody a link, but it has a lot of simple information about radio. It's the Southern California Broadcasters Association.
I can barely hear you, Grace.
Okay, I'm sorry. Can you hear me now? It's the Southern California Broadcasters Association website. It's got a huge amount of statistical information, and radio is still very strong. For instance, AM/FM radio has 50% of the market share of all listenership, so podcasts are 4%. Now, this is a couple of years old, so podcasts may have a bit more listenership now, but radio listenership dwarfs podcast listenership, for instance. SiriusXM is at 8%, AM/FM radio at 50% of the share of the ear. And the demographics also show that young people do listen to radio. It's not true that they don't listen at all. They may be listening less than other demographics, but there are other demographics that we can appeal to, and those are the 40-year-olds, 30-year-olds, 50-year-olds, 60-year-olds. But anyway, I think that we should definitely do some market research. Market research is very inexpensive, and we can find out what's really needed, what type of programming that would conform with the Pacifica mission is wanted by the population in our signal areas. So I think if we're going to invest in the future of Pacifica, we should definitely look at market research. The next thing is I agree that each of the stations should start considering strategic planning. On the national level,
can't hear you, Grace.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yeah, you blanked out there first.
Okay, let me just take this bit off.
You keep fading out.
Can you hear me now? You can probably hear me better now.
Yes.
I think we should break it down to emergency strategic planning, short-term, medium-range, and long-range strategic planning. That way, I think we'll be less confused if we look at it from that different perspective of what time frame we're looking at. So, for instance, short-range, we have to make expense cuts or we'll cease to exist or have to sell a building. That's absolutely urgent. And then when we're looking at short range, we may have grant writing or whatever might be more important. But I think that also, I think it should be realized that in all of our signal areas, we have very strong and well-supported radio stations. Here in Los Angeles, we have two NPR stations that have a very broad listenership and get very strong listener support. The fact that we don't, in comparison, means we have a lot of upside. If we improve our programming, we can have more listener support and more listenership because we can see that there are other radio stations in our own signal area that are doing so. It's not like all radio is fading out. It is not. It is well supported. The listener support is there. We just have to capture more of the market in our areas. Anyway, that's all I have to say for
Grace
now.
Grace, you're at 4 minutes. Okay.
Lawrence to the back.
And James to the back after Lawrence, please.
Okay. Lawrence and James.
I'll yield to James because he hasn't spoken, then I'll go after James if that's okay.
Thank you, Lawrence. I just want to ask Lydia if it would be appropriate in that hour that I totally agree with you that we should have in the afternoon to possibly, you know, try other options for new shows, you know, sort of a tryout hour. Would it be appropriate to have one of the sources of programs that we try out be the affiliates so our listeners can hear what's going on around the country?
I think that that I was thinking of something else. I was thinking of completely new programming that is your community. What I find is that there's an awful lot of rip and read of national news and development, our take on what that national news is. What I don't see as much of is the community involvement. So affiliates are excellent about that. They are great representatives of that, but that's not our five stations. Those aren't our five stations. So I think the affiliate effort is a different effort. I see, we just had the pilot effort on the COVID-19 program where we have made exceptional use of affiliates, and new voices are coming out of that, by the way, for some of our national programming. Having some national programming is certainly an option, kind of continuing along those lines. I was very impressed with how the quality of that programming and the degree to which the affiliates added to that. It was new voices. But what I was talking about is the individual communities of each of our five stations. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't incorporate the affiliates for, I think continuing that for national programming and expanding it is really good. And out of that, we're going to find some exceptional talent. I know Bolina sent me a clip of someone, I can't remember what the station is. It's a young woman, so the voice is young, and there is a distinction in that, and excellent for the headline news types of things and so forth, and it was refreshing, and the young woman is very good. So when we find those, we can't find them if we don't expose ourselves to what the affiliates are doing and listening to the quality of their programming as well. So do we want to add maybe an affiliate slot as well at some of our stations? The point is that it's just easy to do. You get in a rut, especially when you just have like one host day after day after day, right, daily or even weekly, where they use the same Rolodex. Oh, this issue came up. It's on the Supreme Court, so I'm going to call, this expert or whatever. We all do it. But the problem is that there's a monotony that happens and that sets in, and you kind of just need to shake things up. And when you do, as I said, even with the tryout of the COVID-19, which was very good, people were excited about that. It was zippy introductory music, and it wasn't something out of this world at all, but it was more current, more happening, more of a fast clip, which is different than what we've had before. And it can be that kind of thing, plus the in-depth radio documentaries that I don't know that we do those anymore. And that's all the rage right now. That's what a lot of the podcasting is, that then become, film documentaries and so on and so forth. But anyway, so I think that those are two different trains of thought, though, and I can envision accommodating both, which is an excellent idea. I've been very excited about the affiliate contribution to the national programming.
Thank you, Lydia. Chair, we are over our 10-minute extension.
Okay. Can I wrap it up? Can I have like 1 or 2 minutes?
I'd like to move to extend so Lawrence can speak, since he yielded to me.
And Lawrence, can we get a motion to extend this item for like another 4 minutes, say?
And Tom just joined.
Hey, Tom. Okay, so should I go, Chair? Alex.
I just realized I had both you, Tom, and Sabrina on this committee, but you can't be both on this committee. Which one of you is actually a member of this committee?
It might be Tom. I think Sabrina is on personnel.
Oh, okay. I got confused then. Okay. Sorry about that. Go ahead, Lawrence.
Okay. Maybe that's why she didn't pick up the phone. Anyway, so again, I feel like I'm being misinterpreted. I didn't say that young people don't listen to radio. What I said is that
they listen to alternate platforms of news and content, and the internet is a vast world for them. I know my son, being what he does, he stays current with, and he's able to develop critical thinking skills. So, in regards to that, and you know, I think there has to be a way, not only to refresh our programming and come up with criteria or like Lydia said, shake the tree, so to speak, that we also have to look at you know, how are we going to develop these new people? You know, how are we going to develop these new programmers and the new producers that should be in a position to step up and eventually take over in the next 10 years at the least? So I think one of the ways of doing that is by having a training program, tapping into community and college radio stations, just like where a lot of the affiliates are, and we should definitely be able to do that and provide the training, because that's part of our mission. Our mission is to be able to make those studios available to the community and to people with new and fresh ideas that are affected by what's going on in society. And we have a lot of that going on right now. We have the pandemic, and we have the racial reckoning that's going on right now. So these are all things that should produce radio, that should produce radio content, and that should refresh the kind of mundane, baritone, one single host who would die at the mic, who would not give up or train anybody. And so we have to also encourage our pay staff to be able to train people in radio production, whether it's board hopping, whether it's editing, whatever it is. We should be able to be in a position to be able to offer those things to those young people that are out there in the streets right now, living a life that's being affected by them. And this is not to also mention the economic distress that's going on, the fact that any child that's born right now is born right into debt. We have student debt. I mean, there's just a myriad of things that could make Pacifica much more relevant, and a training program is one of the things that we have to look at when we develop the strategy develop a strategy, a plan to move forward. So that's it. Thank you.
I'd like to wrap this up if I can. I'll try to be brief. First, I just want to say that I think there's a tendency to fall into a trap and just sort of concentrate on programming content. I'm all for better programming content, but I think some of our stations have good programming content, or at least better than it used to be. But we're still not reaching the audience we need, and that's because programming content by itself is one item of several items, certainly a critical one, but we also have to reach out into different media platforms. We also have to have some kind of a marketing strategy. There's many, many different layers to this question of working out a strategic plan so that we can begin to grow. And while it may be true that some of the NPR stations are doing okay, you have to look a little deeper on how much of their demographics involves young people these days. How prepared are they for being in a multimedia platform? Some of them are actually. There's other issues here. It's not only content. That's the only thing I want to say. Anyway, before we go, can we?
We're over time, Mr. Chair.
Yeah, do we want a motion to ask the different station units to provide a strategic plan to the come back to this committee with a strategic plan? Just to begin with, I understand Vanessa's point that it's going to be kind of a mess to begin with, but
we can at least get the raw material and see what we have, and then begin to work on it and bring it back to the stations and you know, begin to weave it into a whole. You know, do we want to make such a motion?
I would support that, Chair. This is Lawrence. I would support that idea.
I think so also, Grace. I like that idea.
Okay, James as well.
All right. Are there any... so the motion is the Strategic Planning Committee. I guess we'll try to get it passed on the PNB as we request that each business unit, that includes the stations and PRA and the affiliates, return with a strategic plan, both short-term and long-term, to the Strategic Planning Committee. That sound about
Chair,
right?
Can I add something to that?
Sure.
I'd like to add that governors will come up with a plan, the LSPs.
Are you talking about the governance committee? I'm not sure I'm following you.
No, I'm talking about the that governance also, like the LSPs. There's some LSPs that have such committees. KPFK has one. So I'm just hoping that either they come up and step up and come up with a plan, or they could work collaboratively with the station staff, like we passed that motion last week.
Why don't we just leave it to the LSPs to figure out, you know, which of their committees how they want to handle it? Because different.
Well, I don't oppose that, but I think if it's part of the proposals, it'll carry more weight.
Okay, so can you give me a wording of how you want to change that?
Yeah, I'll type it up right now and I'll send it.
This is James with an inquiry.
Somebody needs to put themselves on mute.
Yeah, we're getting a lot of background noise. Thank you.
This is James with an inquiry.
What is your inquiry, James?
I'm just wondering if your intention was to include the station managements in this effort. I mean, obviously they would participate with whoever is leading it, but would they also have a responsibility to participate or to produce?
Well, if we're sending it back to the local station boards, presumably they will involve their, you know, their station management, of course. I just sort of understood, no?
Yeah, I just was wondering if you wanted to name responsible parties in the motion.
I haven't thought that far ahead, James.
Okay, I'm just asking.
So let me, when I get Lawrence's wording, we'll have something we could... Lawrence, do you have something yet?
Well, give me about 2 minutes, I'll have it ready.
Just so you know, we're now about more than 9 minutes over our... we're 5 minutes over our 4-minute extension. We seem to be proceeding nicely. I don't even know that we need to worry about it.
Okay. I'm just waiting to get Lawrence's revised wording of the motion. Mm-hmm.